This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Wow, what's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Yeah, buddy, Hour 5, G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. We have some Mavs talk coming up at 6:20. How do they best pick up the pieces from here? Time now to go around the bases, though, here on your home of the Rangers. Here's Wolchuk.
All right, yeah, the big bummer, we talked about this with Adolis Garcia earlier. We opened the show with it. He was scratched from the lineup today, dealing with an oblique injury. He's going to undergo further MRIs. And as Jared was saying, you know, we're just going to take a cautious approach to this, right? There's nothing that you need more than a healthy Adolis Garcia. And it's annoying because it seemed like physically he was feeling right. He predicted the 50 home runs this year. So hopefully this is not something that is super serious. You just go ahead and keep him off his feet. It's precautionary. But it could put opening day in doubt depending on what the results are of said MRI. Rangers aren't the only team dealing with some injuries right now. As Luis Hill of the Yankees has suffered an injury, that's a big member of their rotation coming into this year. So that's a guy that's going to be out possibly as long as 6 to 8 weeks. So he's in danger of missing the beginning of the season. And then the Braves also suffered an injury with their rotation as well. And that's not a good carryover from a year ago. You got the Brewers who finally signed Jose Quintana. They're trying to add depth here, last minute reinforcements. So ESPN put together their final offseason grades now as you're kind of seeing, all right, this is what the clubs are looking like. You might still have a couple of last minute free agent additions, but overall, this is what you've got. And I asked Jared this before we left spring training, but what the Rangers did this offseason, specifically on the offensive side of things, when you add Joc Pederson, who did homer today, you add Jake Berger, who's been brilliant so far, Kyle Higashioka, who's also had a really good start to spring, but could this end up being like one of the better Ranger offseasons in recent memory? I would say yes. However, David Schoenfield of ESPN, who we've had on the show before, gave the Rangers overall a C- for their offseason. They did re-sign Nathan Eovaldi. They brought in the guys that I mentioned, Chris Martin as well, who might end up being their closer. Gone is Nathaniel Lowe, who we'll hear from in just a moment. Kirby Yates, Jose Leclerc, David Robertson, and Max Scherzer. But I don't know. I think a C- here is just absolutely ridiculous. Now, he is stressing the bullpen issues, and that is totally a fair concern. But when you have some of the guys that might not make the starting rotation, like a Dane Dunning who pitched today, that you're looking at probably being a bullpen arm, I think this is something where the Rangers are going to be okay. And as we talked with Chris Young about it, he's not going to rest if there is an issue with this bullpen. He will go out and he will attack it. I think Schoenfield, a C-, this is blatantly disrespectful.
Yeah, that's brutal. That's somebody not paying attention to, you know, what everything that CY has done.
That's a Seattle Mariners fan is what that is.
That's brutal. You know, I was fully convinced when I talked to CY that he's heard everything he needs to from ownership, and along with the combination of having a great farm system, they're going to have the ammunition to address it. Yeah, I think just Berger and Pederson alone is enough to get at least a B working, solid B. And then remaking the bullpen, maybe it's not impressive, guys. But if you look at the analytics of the group that they brought in, it suggests they could do quite well. And yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if what they put together is already an average bullpen with, you know, one or two additional pieces midseason pushing it over the top to top 10.
Well, and Robert Garcia, who retired in 2021, awesome article that Kennedy Landry put out on MLB.com today, how he was working a 9-to-5 job. And he thought, okay, my baseball days are over. Then the Marlins select him in the minor league phase of the Rule 5 draft. And he says, I'm not turning this down. It was 3 months that I got to taste what it was like to be on the other side. When things aren't going good, I can't speak for every player, but sometimes you think about retiring. That's not a good spot for me. Mentally, at that point in my life, I thought that was the best decision at the time, and I got lucky, very, very lucky. So now I'm here, and I don't take any day for granted. So he retires. He realizes, man, this 9-to-5 stuff sucks. Gets an opportunity to get back into Major League Baseball. And since then, he's really been one of the better relievers in Major League Baseball. He set career highs last year in Washington in games, innings, strikeouts was 75, ranked among Nats relievers in strikeouts per nine first when it came to strikeouts per nine innings. This is a guy that I think the arm is back to where it was prior to retirement. And certainly, if you look at all of his StatCast numbers, I mean, the guy's in the 90 percentile for the majority of stuff, barrel rate, hard hit rate, chase rate. He could be a nasty addition to the bullpen that I don't think was even mentioned on David Schoenfield there, because that was part of the Nathaniel Lowe trade. It wasn't a free agent signing, but I am excited to see what Robert Garcia could do. We didn't get to see him while we were out there because he had an injury to start spring training. He's back now. Actually had an outing yesterday that I told you guys about on the B side, and he was good. I mean, had himself a nice couple of innings, said he felt real good after it. But this is one of those quiet additions that Chris Young makes that can really help propel the bullpen. I like Robert Garcia, and I'd encourage anybody to go and look a little bit deeper into what Kennedy Landry wrote here, because I think it's a really, really interesting article. Guy who went from retirement to now back in the fold in Major League Baseball and could be one of your better relievers for the Texas Rangers this year.
Sorry, Wolchuk. Sometimes that's exactly what it is. You know, a guy that nobody was thinking of that comes off the radar and was, you know, facing retirement that can have a great year. That's just kind of the nature of relievers.
Yeah, it just changes the mental perspective on things. Now, Nathaniel Lowe, you played during the expressway there. You know, he's going to miss the camaraderie, really the friendships that he made here. But on foul territory, they also asked him, okay, what's he going to be like the first time you play against the Rangers?
I'm looking right now. Sorry, I'm looking for when do you guys play Texas?
I think it's in June.
Is it on the road or is it home?
It's at home. It's at home. We don't go back to Texas till next year.
Okay, so is it going to be awkward? Because I know you've been in other organizations, but you were kind of a Ranger in the World Series there.
Yeah.
So when you step into the box the first time,
I'm going to be excited. I'm excited.
Is it going to mean, because I always wondered this, because people would always ask me, especially when you change teams the first time, does it mean more, like, say you get a hit to win that game? Or because they traded you away, right? So, like, 100%. Minnesota traded me to San Francisco, and then I went to the White Sox. So that first time I played, especially on the road in the old Metrodome, it was like, all right, this just means more because you got rid of me.
Yeah, it's something similar for sure. I mean, I remember the first game I went back to Tampa. Like, I know I hit a homer to left, and I was like, man, that should count for four homers. You know, just because, like, you come up in the organization, you play with the guys for so long, like, you appreciate what all they've done to get you in that to that point of your career. And then obviously they felt the need to have somebody else play your position. So you, like, you know, there's no, like, malice at all. Definitely not. But, like, I'm not going back there to lose.
Not going back there to lose. He knew exactly. Right? He's like, oh, when do you play here? No. We don't go back to Texas for another year, but we get him here in Washington. I like that. I'll miss Nathaniel Lowe, but I am really excited. I think they've upgraded here with Jay Berger and that addition. They'll have a platoon there at first. But what Berger's going to bring to the table, I just think will be much more consistent. So you saw a lot of hot and cold from Nathaniel Lowe. 1 year, the defense struggled. Bat was good. Next year, defense was better. Bat was cold. I think with Berger, you'll get a little bit more consistency there. I think the bat's going to stay hot throughout the entire season, which is going to be big to try and get production there, not only from first base, but also if he ends up shifting playing some DH as well.
You know what's crazy is last year you're looking at a higher on-base plus slugging for Nathaniel Lowe than Jake Berger. Now, watching them hit, watching the kind of contact they make, I think Jake Berger is a more feared hitter. His exit velo is probably considerably higher.
Certainly, big difference.
But it just doesn't seem like this was totally a baseball improvement. You know, like, we love Nathaniel Lowe. You can hear right there, he loved being in Texas.
One of the best interviews that we got to have.
Something just didn't work. Was it money? Was maybe. Is Berger so much more early on in the process that, I think, you know, it allowed like them to trim
value.
Payroll?
Yeah, they got good value, and then they were able to add, you know, Garcia in the trade for to get some bullpen help for Nathaniel Lowe. So I think they were probably looking at, okay, the what we've got with Jock Peterson and Berger, and then maybe some people in the clubhouse, like, we think of Nathaniel Lowe as a guy that we love. But I think that sometimes his carefree, goofy attitude maybe rubs some guys the wrong way.
Man, he's fun.
He is. But Jake Berger also has a great personality, and maybe some of the serious nature of it. That might be something Chris Young was looking at.
Nathaniel Lowe kind of reminds me of Goose from the original Top Gun. You know, just there.
Very much so.
I could see him playing great balls of fire, but check this out. Nathaniel Lowe batting war last year, 2.7, Berger 0.5. Right? I'd say per at bat, yeah, Nathaniel Lowe. Maybe you're betting on the upside here, and you're getting a little bit of a payroll decrease there in Berger. And I love Jake Berger. Like, I think it was brilliant of them to bring him up into our little press box room up there. So I got a chance to meet him, and yeah. Very impressed. Love his whole story. But I think he's got his work cut out for him if he wants to have a bigger impact than Nathaniel Lowe did in his four seasons here.
I think this year you're going to see the home run total. That'll make up for a lot. I think he's got a chance to certainly have more dingers than what Nathaniel Lowe is bringing. And I think that's really what Chris Young wants. I think 2 years ago you looked at the home run totals. That was what carried and propelled this offense a lot of the time. They struggled.
Yeah.
Why they had a regression when it came to their offense was they weren't able to get those big three-run homers. You know, it seemed like anytime they got a homer, it was a solo bomb. It wasn't really being able to connect with runners on, and hopefully Jake Berger is a guy that in those situations you get to a board, he's able to bring everybody home.
Yeah, he's got a lot of power too. When I watch him bat, I feel like a guy who's just trying to attack the baseball and beat it into next week, where Nathaniel Lowe is, you know, kind of, you know, fighting pitches off and stuff.
Yeah, single. I mean, and he definitely does do that. I mean, he's going to work the count much more than a Jake Berger would do. I mean, that's another takeaway of that when you're comparing the two. But it is kind of sad hearing Nathaniel Lowe talk about his time now away from the Rangers. But I'm sure he's going to get a standing ovation whenever he comes back to Arlington 2 years from now. Fernando Tatis Jr. has new management. He's entered a management deal with Bad Bunny's agency. I didn't even realize Bad Bunny was doing this, but he's now extended his portfolio as an athlete, businessman, and philanthropist. So Fernando Tatis, who just ended up getting a huge 14-year, $340 million deal when he was with Dan Lozano of MVP Sports Agency, now going to side with Bad Bunny. So I don't know. He's a guy that's probably under contract now, so he's not going to get a new one, but that's a pretty good get there for Bad Bunny and their representation as they try and grow.
So Bad Bunny's a sports agent?
Yeah, man.
And a philanthropist?
Yeah.
Right on.
He's trying to expand the portfolio here. Roky Sasaki, he's going to make his debut tonight for the Dodgers. Yes, he is. Camelback Ranch tonight.
It's a
first pitch against the Reds, set for 7:05 here Central Time. Sasaki will not be the starter. He's going to follow Yoshinobu Yamamoto, who is looking to complete about four innings. Then you'll get Sasaki, who's going to enter the game with the goal of going at least three innings. So I know we were excited. Maybe Sasaki could be a Texas Ranger. He went to the Dodgers. Shocker, so did everybody this year. But we'll get our first chance to see Roky Sasaki against Major League hitters.
Very impressive. Brian knows all the spring stadiums, including Camelback Ranch.
Yeah. That's your favorite of the ranches.
Yeah. I always knew you were a fan of Camel Toe Ranch there when we went to Vegas.
Yes, how about that?
Didn't know.
You know, Adam's versatile. It was funny, as you guys were talking, I've you know, this baseball savant, you can kind of look up, compare players and stuff.
What'd you learn?
The thing about with Berger when it comes to exit velocity, barrel percentage, hard hit balls, bat speed, all those far better than Nate Lowe. When it comes to, you know, if you look
at the powers and
the power, that where Nate Lowe has him is like some fielding value.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of where it's a little bit in the favor of Nate Lowe.
Got to give him a lot of credit for that because he worked on it.
He was not a good defensive first baseman. If you look at Jake Berger and just everything to do with hitting, it's in that borderline of great range when it comes to all the metrics that I just gave you. as compared to what Nate Lowe does. So maybe that's something that they're looking at right now and saying, okay, well, this guy does this a little bit better.
And much cheaper. Yeah. It's got much more upside, yes. And Lowe's at $10 million.
Yeah.
Berg Daddy sitting at $800K right now.
Yeah.
$800K. So you free up $9.2 million in payroll. It does sound kind of like a Ray Davis special, if you ask me, but I think it can work out really, really well because CY was in charge.
Yeah, I mean, I love this addition. I think it's going to end up being awesome with Jake Berger, and hopefully the power is really what sets him apart, to Brian's point there, and hopefully we're getting a lot of dong balls from the Bergman. Mm-hmm. Okay, last thing here. Would you guys eat this? All right, the Kalamazoo Growlers have unveiled a new hot dog. They're calling it the Scat Dog.
What?
Yeah, it's the Scat Dog. I figured if anybody would eat this, it would be you, Gavin.
Hmm.
They're going to kick this off at the end of May.
I would bet on an Eagles fan eating a scat dog above any other.
It does look like poo, but that's why, because it's sandwiched between two chocolate cake donuts. The hot dog is then topped with whipped cream, sprinkles, and a maraschino cherry. So it's hot dog, two chocolate cake donuts that are used as buns, and the topping is the whipped cream sprinkles and the cherry. It's 1,017 calories, available at all Saturday games.
That's an appetizer for Chief.
This is what I would do. I would make that. I'd make that dog like out of like a brat.
There you go, jalapeno brat.
Yeah, okay. I would.
Or sweet heat.
I would spice. Yeah,
I would like take. I would take. I would take the dog, like the inside of the dog, you know, take it out of the skin and make almost like a patty out of it.
Oh, I like that.
And then kind of and put it. And so you're making almost like a breakfast sausage with the donuts and stuff.
See,
like that.
We're thinking along the same lines, because I was thinking about cutting it long ways in half and laying it across the donuts.
That's
there.
A good idea.
I think you might run into a little bit of a problem with that dog rolling around in between the two donuts.
Yeah, I wonder how that's going to hold.
I wouldn't go for the Nathan's hot dog or anything like this. I would try and create a
premium dog.
I would
bratwurst.
Yeah, not a red hot. I would
sell for $10.
I think the floor on that is the Earl Campbell Hot Link, the spicier one.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, that'd be delicious.
That's the least I would do to that. And no disrespect to the
Earl Campbell. You got to go for almost a breakfast flavor for that if you're going to do it.
I thought that the look of this was just like, wow, what are we doing here? Because it does, when you have the chocolate cake donut, it does kind of look like this thing is sandwiched between
two. Is the blueberry cake donut one of your favorite?
It is. It's outstanding.
I heard you say that one time.
Yeah.
Very good.
Well, thank you, Woolchuck.
Thank you.
Proper round trip.
Hot dog and two. What you said is shoved between what?
It looks like donuts.
What? Chocolate cake donuts.
Chocolate cake.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
Okay, I get it.
I don't know if scat's the right word for that. Maybe we could workshop something else.
Shout out to the Kalamazoo.
I didn't realize that until Lee just pointed it out.
Yeah, here we go.
That's pretty funny. Okay, where do the Mavs go from here to pick up the pieces? Then we'll chat with the fan after dark as we soldier on through the 6 o'clock hour here with you on a Tuesday evening in the G-Bag Nation.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's. So thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Thank you, Lucius. 281 pointing out we might be missing out on the placement of that hot dog with the donuts. Could the dog go through both holes and it's kind of sitting like an axle with two wheels on it? You know, I didn't see the picture, Woolchuck, so I wanted to ask that for clarification.
It didn't look like there was, I think they had kind of cut it in half, and it didn't even look like it was the full donut cakes. It kind of like was halved donut, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. So you had like two halves that were pinched.
So it was essentially one donut.
I think so.
Okay.
I think it was one. Yes. But I like that idea.
Yeah.
To go through the holes.
We could do that. I think you might need a leaner hot dog.
Yeah.
You know, but some people might prefer that. Segment's brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. It's brought to you by the Frankels. Life's unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you or a loved one's injured in a car, truck, wreck, call the Frankels first, 214 or 817-333-3333. There's never an out-of-pocket cost. Only get paid when you win. Franklin Frankel, the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas. Broadus just left the show, went to hang out with Fred and Blake over there, the Fan After Dark in the bullpen.
I thought he'd never leave.
Throwing heat. By the way, thanks to Woolchuck,
he
brought me these jalapeno cheese puffs. Pretty dang good.
You liked them, huh?
Pretty dang good.
Did you guys get a try?
I don't know. Broadus, have you tried these jalapeno cheese puffs?
I'm not trying yet. I'm sorry. We got into conversation of draft talk in there.
Well, they had Lance Zierlein on last night, which was pretty badass.
He was kind of going through the linebackers. Lance.
Oh, yeah?
Blake was replaying the conversations that about Lance had about the linebackers.
Did he bring somebody up that wasn't named Jihad Campbell or Carson Schwechinger?
He talked about, actually, he likes the kid from South Carolina, though.
Knight?
Yeah.
Okay.
Knight a lot.
That's a good player.
So, yeah. So, we were kind of just going through those. So, anyway, let me try one of those cheese puffs.
Yeah, there you go.
Puff.
Yeah.
Send them back. We need to get Lucius some of these puffs, too. Yeah,
exactly.
These are good puffs. And
H-E-B jalapeno.
We also need to thank Broadus for the po' boy sandwiches today and the shrimp basket he got me as we celebrate Fat Tuesday.
Fat Tuesday today. Yeah. So, Tuesday. Everybody enjoy it tonight. And then we rally for Lent. I know Dawson's got a game plan for all of us to follow.
Perfect.
So if we're in for the Jewish guy, you can kind of play along with us if you want.
I'm in.
Yeah. I always do, Lent. I don't do it by their book. I just like to give up something. Right. Yeah. I like to give up something. And you know, for most people in Lynn, it's more fish and less meat. I'm giving up sweets and Zins this Lent. You know, I always customize it for my own personal situation.
Boy, those just disintegrate in your mouth.
Those are good cheese puffs, though. And wait for the late jalapeno flavor to kick in. That's when it gets really good. I couldn't tell there was jalapeno in there to begin with.
Oh, but there is. Here we
it kind of creeps
late.
On you.
Here we go.
Next thing you know, it's jalapeno everywhere.
Wow, those are damn good. I mean, I'll go to H-E-B, and sometimes those are out. So I'm glad that I found some to give you.
I got four important questions about where the Mavs go from here in just a second.
Be good with a cheeseburger.
Have a story tonight of a crypto influencer on Twitch in Houston
home invasion. The guys were watching her talk about how much money she had in crypto. So they're like, let's go rob her, figure out where she lived.
Oh God.
She managed to get a tweet off that she was being held at gunpoint. Husband finds out and somehow gets a message to her. I'm waiting in the garage out back. Okay. So she's like, oh, you want my whatever access to my funds is back here in the garage. She leads him back in there. Shots fired. And there's a video actually of the two robbers running out and one of them saying, I'm shot.
Yeah.
And husband said, I'm covered in blood and I think most of it's not mine. So I guess all's well that ends well. But you can't be on there on social bragging about how rich you are here.
Nah.
Badass move by the husband, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what are they going to do? Like, put the gun to her head and make her transfer the Bitcoin over to their wallet?
I think so. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, get in your wallet here and send it to this address. And
I'm locked out the account, bro. This is my fourth time. You put the gun down. I'm nervous as hell.
Right?
Yeah. I can't do it.
I forgot the password.
Yeah, he's fat and dewy fingers.
Okay, Kyrie Irving out for the season with a torn ACL. Terribly unlucky. I mean, I don't know if you guys saw or saw the replay. It was kind of gross, but his right leg gets knocked, and it kind of sends his hips like back and up. So as he's trying to plant with his left foot and what he thinks is going to be his jump, his leg fires early, so his leg hits the ground in a state of thinking it is jumping and expanding, and there was just no stability there.
It looked like to me, I've seen these types of injuries, it looked like his calf, it's not his calf, his thigh gave out.
Yeah.
They were saying that maybe you could see when the thigh kind of moved.
Yeah.
That's when all of a sudden the knee tore, and then he hit, and then it got even worse.
Just brutal. I was hoping it would be just a hyperextension, but the Twitter doctors were over this, and there's probably like 20 Twitter doctors out there now.
They covered it.
And the majority were saying this does not look good at all.
They were saying knee.
One guy was saying might be a hyperextension, but we got the bad news late this morning. Now, do you think Nico knows now how bad he messed up, or do you think they're still in denial? Like, oh, it's just bad luck with the injuries.
I would guess being in a personnel, because we lost Joey Galloway on the very first day we ever had him. Mm. I mean, we lost him the very first game in Philadelphia. The Cowboys played that game in Philadelphia. We played in Dallas, opening day. And at that point, you're like going, we brought this guy in for explosive plays and stuff like that. And when that happened, even though it was week one, you're like, we're done. So you don't, I said earlier, don't feel sorry for yourself or anything like that. You made the moves you made. You know, now you've got to find a way to just do everything in your power if you're Nico to support your coaches. Just everything you could do. You know, anything. You can't add players through trades or anything, but now you could start to, you know, say, hey, listen, you know, don't ask them to do anything that they don't already want to do. If they want to play a certain group of players, let them play. But you gotta support your guys and your gals who are on that staff, because they're the ones that are going to have to finish this thing out for you. And you got to kind of write it off as, yeah, we made some poor decisions and these injuries we just couldn't overcome them.
Yeah.
And try and get ready for next year. But you got to support them any way you can. If a couple of them are up for contract extensions or whatever, you got to make sure you work on that stuff and get that taken care of so everybody goes into next season feeling a lot better about where they are than they are right now.
972 says Nico is a sociopath. I don't think so. I don't think he's a bad guy. You know, I think this was just a mistake that he made through inexperience and maybe falling in love with the idea of a player and falling out of love with a guy that didn't match what your principles are.
I just believe that he looked at Luka as his way of getting Anthony Davis. He goes, this is my chip. This is my...
Yeah, but he was also looking to get other players. You know? I think he was more about getting rid of Luka than it was getting...
He made it very personal, but the personal... Luka's actions is what got him removed, I think. What Luka was doing was to Nico was like, I can't put up with this anymore.
Yeah.
I'm not saying I would. I probably would have put up with it. But Nico's saying, I'm not putting up with it.
Well, he comes from the corporate world where those sort of intangibles and your character and your work ethic are maybe more important than your talent. In basketball and most sports, your talent is so much more important than that.
He runs that thing like a corporation, though. There's no question about that.
You know, and I think I would want Nico running my business. Like his discipline, everything that comes along with Nico. So I don't think he's a sociopath or a bad guy. I just think he's inexperienced and maybe had more power than he ever had up to this point now that Mark Cuban's out of the building. Right. And he kind of got carried away with an idea that he was going to make this team better and do something bold and big that the league had never seen. And, you know, I and on top of that, not being from here, the Dumont family, Adelson family not being from here, I just think they didn't realize what the mistake they were making.
He took advantage of a group that was not very basketball savvy.
Yes.
Not at all.
And the owners. And the owners probably, you know, where he makes this deal and then all of a sudden it's like he tells the owners are kind of like, what? But they don't know. They don't know if it's pumped up or stuffed.
Yeah.
You know, they don't know. So you take advantage of that situation like, hey, I moved on. And you know, the Adelsons are probably like, wait, whoa, what? What did we just do? But okay, if we trust you, Nico. You got us to the finals last year. You know, we trust you. You know what's good for the team. You know, and unfortunately, though, it probably wasn't good for the
team. He had a very narrow-minded, short-term view on this. Like, we're just in the finals. I need a matchup against Boston. I believe this team can get there. But he had no outlook for the Mavericks' future. Now you've got an injured Kyrie Irving who's in doubt for next year. Yeah. You've got Anthony Davis who hasn't even played a full game with the Mavericks and might not play again this year. So your tiny little window that you were trying to cash in now, where's it gone? It's evaporated right in front of your face. And the future is in LA right now. And Maverick fans are looking around like, what the heck are we supposed to hope for?
Yeah.
Yeah, we just brought them back to life. It's like
this is somebody else's problem now. Nico has created this is somebody else's problem. And that's why, you know, I was asking Tim Cato, does he get fired? You know, do the Adelsons, does the family look at this and say, listen, we're going to have to go through something that we don't want you here because you're part of this.
Well, if they ever study what the fan base's mindset is, they're going to have to move on to give a clean start.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. They're going to need, and I think Tim's right, that somebody could come in here and break up this team.
Yeah,
but it's going to probably have to be for the betterment of the franchise.
I think you got to kind of break up the team to give yourself a long-term future.
Exactly.
You know, you need draft picks. And I think the players that they have could restock their coffers really, really well and give them sort of a fair chance of rebuilding. But I think right now it has to start with a full tank. And I appreciate, respect what you said about having your coaches' backs. I think that's important.
Yeah.
I want to go to them and say, hey, we have your back. We think you're doing an amazing job. Yeah. Please don't leave us. Because if I was a team that needed a coaching staff, I'm looking at Jason Kidd right now, like throwing in a life raft.
How could you not, if you're the NBA, and look at that situation in Dallas and not, and that team is still above 500 with all the things that's happened and trading their best player?
I mean, to the finals.
How could you not respect the hell out of this staff?
No doubt.
You know?
So, I'm doing that, but I'm also saying, guys, we can't win. You can't play whoever you want. Now, let me tell you this. I have your back. There's no way we're firing you. We want to give you all raises, but on the back end, we need to lose all 20 of these games and get as good of a player as possible when it comes to the NBA draft. And I think it's very doable because you look at the schedule, even in the next seven games, Bucks, Grizzlies, Suns, Spurs, Rockets, 76ers. I mean, I guess the Spurs and the Suns games are...
four of those games.
Well, we'll see.
If you think about how about the 76ers? Where are they at right now?
You could beat the 76ers, but...
Yeah. But you don't have Kyrie, and you're right. I mean, I'm just saying that the Spurs, that could be a toss-up game, right? Depending on Wimby in that situation.
I mean, you have no answer for De'Aaron Fox.
No.
They have...
You might be right. I mean, I'm not saying you might be. You're right. They can naturally go out and play really, really hard.
Yep.
But and still lose by 5 or 6 points.
But not if you bring back Davis, and not if Lively comes back, and PJ Washington, and you're like, let's go and try to lose in the first round of the playoffs. That would be horrible.
This is where that would come in, though, because if you're Nico, do you push for, I need to see this team with all these players playing? Is that where he goes up to Jason Kidd and says, listen, I know it's been a horse-s season. But if all these guys are healthy, can we play him and see what we look like?
I don't know how much of a read you're getting. That's kind of like playing in football without a good quarterback in camp because we don't have a point guard. We don't have a floor general.
But maybe you get maybe with Spencer Dinwiddie and stuff, you can win a game or two with these guys.
You know, the only way I could justify it is if you're saying we're going to put on such a defensive show that a floor general is going to want to come here.
That's kind of where I'm looking at it right now. I'm thinking, like, do you showcase your team? You know, do you reward the coaches by saying, hey, I'll go win games. Try and win games.
You might have to get in the G League for a point guard, though, like legitimately. Yeah. Dinwiddie, Exum, Hardy. I'm sure there's better out there, or at least more reliable. Yeah. You know, good defender, not turning it over, get the ball to your playmakers.
Yeah.
Tim Cowlishaw headline morning news, Nico Harrison's far-fetched Mavericks dream lies in tatters after the Kyrie Irving injury. What comes next for Dallas, he asked. Now it seems like nothing else matters with this basketball. I've never seen a story like this. It is a full-on tragedy.
It is.
I would say Nico got what he deserved, though. I mean, when you look at setting this up for older players who are injury-prone, I don't think this is that big of a surprise. Like, is it a little shocking that they all happened at the same time? Sure.
Very.
You don't find that suspicious.
And then the sequence. I do find this suspicious. I will still say I think there is a very good chance. Now, not higher than 50%, but very good in these circumstances. I'm looking at like 20 or 25% that this is still a cover-up for making the Lakers relevant to save the TV deal. I mean, they're getting better ratings in these games than any games before other than opening night. You know,
makes sense.
The Lakers are relevant now, and I think that's what networks want, and in the end, it is a business. So I think the final thing, and we'll be talking about this quite a bit, is how does it impact Kyrie Irving's potential decision to opt out? He can. Does he want to come back? Does he look at, I'm just going to opt in and use a rehab year while collecting the salary and then try to hit free agency next summer? It'll be very interesting because if he does decide to leave, the Mavericks will have $50 million plus of cap space, and that could be Nico's opportunity to get the player in here that it could at least, you know, start to win the fans back a little bit. All righty.
Did I hear rumor about Memphis maybe moving Ja Morant?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I think we had that.
Could be a possibility.
Last week.
Yeah.
That might be something interesting. Yeah. Although I think that would have to be a trade. He is one of those players that I think while he's not on Luka's level, he ain't too far away. And, you know, evidenced by the fact they're having a hell of a regular season once again.
Yeah.
And he's got a point guard mind. You know, he is an attack guy. He is a one-man wrecking crew when it comes to the ability to get to the rim and finish and all that. But he is a good setup guy himself. When we come back, we'll chat with the Fan After Dark, see what Fred and Blake have cooking here for you on a Tuesday night in the Nation. Thank you very much, Lucius. It's time to talk now with the Fan After Dark, brought to you by the Can Academies. Donate your vehicle today, canacademies.org. Fred, Blake, good evening, guys. How we doing?
Fabulous. My girl just texted me. There is power back at the apartment complex. When I left 2 hours prior, and then when I left, there was no power. So the fridge was done, the groceries, the cats were scared, no lights. There is power back at Blake's apartment complex. Half of Dallas is without power. So.
Unbelievable, the storm this morning. Also unbelievable, you guys have been calling our guy Lucius Meatball.
Yeah, what the hell?
So that's on me.
Where'd that come from?
So that's on me. We were doing a show one day, and I don't know how it inspired, but like I've told Lucius to his face, it was a term of endearment. It was not a...
Didn't sound like it.
I mean, he thinks I'm thick.
No, I can't remember what
it was. Call me a meatball.
I don't remember what. I wish I remembered the origin, but it was like, oh, yeah, that's Meatball. Like, not like, oh, Meatball. It was like, oh, that's our guy. And then we just kept calling him that, but we maybe say it once or twice a month. It's not a frequent occurrence. Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's just every now and again. And then we had to make sure that Lucius knew last week. So,
but see, that's what we say. We say it to his face, like, hey, we're not talking behind your back. Term of endearment. This is what we said. 100%. Now, I wish I knew the origin story and I could back it up and be like, this is the how, what, and why. But I don't remember, like, most of the stuff I say
sounds
on the air.
Very endearing to me.
Yeah, Meatball's like a name that you give if you're like a stepdad and you got your stepson running around. He's always giving you lip. You're not my daddy. Shut up, Meatball. You know, that kind of a deal.
But then we changed it to, I guess, Meat Wad is the name of
the actual name.
Hunger Teen Force or whatever, which is a great show that was on Adult Swim.
Because I feel like that's what got the conversation started.
I don't
Adult Swim?
Well, the Aqua Teen Hunger Force. Mm. we were talking about that, and then for whatever reason, you liken Lucius to Meatball, and here we are.
We do a lot of competitions with you guys. We'll be like, who do you think would be the best camp counselor? And we'll put everyone up for debate and
Chief.
Have a good time. Chief?
Oh, yeah.
Chief, I would Chief say, by far.
No, I would say the Sunday school guy.
No, Chief.
He would suck as a camp counselor.
I think Broadus. Broadus would be so gentle and understanding and wanting to.
No.
No.
Brian would hate it, too. I've done this. I've done the camp counseling thing. I think
window. 10 years ago, 2 years ago.
Well, I mean, I do have a child now, but this was a long time ago. I mean, we're talking 10 years ago. But I did like four. It was 4 year old kids that I had to camp counsel. It was a pain in the ass, okay. But we got it done.
Would you worry about Choppy being a camp counselor?
I would take Eric over Choppy in a heartbeat.
Yeah, Choppy wouldn't do anything good or bad. You know, he'd just be like, whatever. I'm over here playing cards, kid.
Yeah, I would. Can you imagine Bobby? Bobby would be hilarious.
Bobby, when Bobby like goes out and is in family in tow, like he's like he like separates from his family.
He does.
He's got to go somewhere to get hammered.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He's
he forgets about him.
He does like six. He does like six shots in 2 minutes, and then like the poor wife and the kids are all hanging out.
So who's the worst then? Who would be the one that we wouldn't want to be the camp counselor?
I mean, I don't think Sean would have any patience for it at all.
Him or Fred, who's got less patience?
I'd be a decent.
You would be able to do it.
I was a journalism camp counselor. Yeah, that's right, journalism camp.
So the kids are already smart and know what they're doing and are already in line.
You'd be surprised.
Fred's good with kids.
Okay, you'd be surprised.
His and others.
Oh, did you hear the story he told last night about his kid? We had a hole with your daughter.
Yes.
That was so his daughter is dating someone. I don't want to tell you.
I heard. We shared that story. Shared that story during the break. It's over.
Yeah. Oh, nice. They broke up?
They broke up.
I knew she would lose respect for him.
They broke. Well, he cried again, and he did. He cried again.
Fred took her advice all over radio.
She took your advice and said, quit acting like a little bee?
Well, that, and he kind of pretty much ended it. He had her come over just to end it again. So it was rough. She was in a rough
How many F-bombs did you drop on that call talking about him? When she was like bringing up, well, Daddy, I broke up. We were like, well, good. That F bomb.
I let her. I mean, if you can imagine,
or
my
did you
daughter
just be real quiet.
I just let her. I mean, if you can imagine, my daughter's very Freddish, and so we just let her. I let her.
Your daughter's very Freddish.
She
was doing the ranting.
They call her Freddie.
Yeah, She did a lot of ranting.
What's coming up on the show tonight? Any rants?
Well, I mean, stay tuned. We got Grant Afseth. He's joining us at 7:20. Obviously,
baller.
Give us an update on what the hell's going on. You know, really.
Real journalist?
What's that?
Real journalism.
Every now and again. So we're going to have him come on. By the way, I did, when I was talking to DPD last week, there was no threats to Dallas and or there was no uptick in crime the day Luka was traded. So just, you know, inquiring minds want to know.
You did a ride along this week, right?
I did. Absolutely. Yeah. And so we got, you know, straight from the horse's mouth from the DPD. Now, what that means this week, you know, TBD. That said, Grant Afseth, he's going to join us at 7:20. Great segment by Blake. Who is now in prime position to win sooner of all the teams in DFW? Right now that we've got kind of Dallas, and now that we pretty much know that AD's not coming back anytime soon, kind of where are we at power ranking, you know, the four teams here in the DFW?
Dallas, stars!
There you go, right?
Stars,
bing bong!
Stars.
And then we'll do a little bing NFL bong. After dark, a little audio dumpski, and I'm sure we'll make fun of new guy Jake.
Love it. Here they come, the Fan After Dark with Fred and Blake. Thanks to Lucius Alexander, Zach Wolchuk, and Brian Broadus. I'm Gavin Dawson. Till tomorrow at 2, you're going home with a G-Bag Nation. At ease.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
Ugh, your clothes are too tight, yet you can't lose weight, even though you've tried so many diets. The reason you're having trouble losing weight could be a liver clogged with fat, and that is slowing your metabolism. Introducing Omicid, a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism, so it's easier to lose weight, and it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Find out more and see the university studies at Omicid.com. That's Almased.com.
All right, everybody, it's here. The March to Spring Training and Opening Day is officially upon us. Hey, I'm Rob Bradford from Baseball Isn't Boring, and we'll have you covered every single day with instant reactions to late-breaking signings, determining which players are, yes, truly in the best shape of their lives, and behind-the-scenes stories from all the excitement and intrigue that spring training brings. Follow Baseball Isn't Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.